An overview of the 10 stages. The entire process of training the mind unfolds through 10 stages. Each stage has its own distinct characteristics, challenges to overcome, and specific techniques for working through those challenges. The stages mark gradual improvements in your abilities. As you make progress, there will also be 4 milestone achievements that divide the 10 stages into 4 distinct parts. These are especially significant transition points in your practice, where mastery of certain skills takes your meditation to a whole new level. The stages and milestones, considered together, form a broad map to help you figure out where you are and how best to continue. Yet because each person is unique, the route your spiritual journey takes will always be at least slightly different from that of somebody else. For this reason, we will also talk about how the process unfolds, how fast or slow you may experience progress, and what kind of attitude to have. The point isn't to force your experience to match something you have heard. Instead, use this book as a guide for working with and understanding your own experiences, no matter what forms they take. This chapter outlines the general arc of the practice, and the rest of the chapters provide the details. It will be helpful to revisit this chapter from time to time to keep the big picture fresh in your mind. The more clearly you understand the stages and why they happen in the order that they do, the quicker and more enjoyably you will walk the path toward happiness and freedom. How the process unfolds. Each of the 10 stages on the path to becoming an adept meditator is defined in terms of certain skills that you have to master. Only when you have mastered the skills of a particular stage will you be able to master the next stage. This is because your abilities as a meditator gradually build on each other. Just as you have to learn to walk before you can run, you must move through the stages in order, without skipping any of them. To make progress, you should correctly determine your current stage, work diligently with the techniques you're given, and move on only when you have achieved mastery. Mastery of one stage is a requirement for the mastery of the next, and none can be skipped. Taking shortcuts just creates problems and ultimately prolongs the process, so they're not really shortcuts. Diligence is all you need to make the fastest progress possible. However, even though the stages are presented as a linear path of progress, the practice doesn't actually unfold in such a straightforward manner. For example, a beginning meditator will be working on stages 1 and 2 at the same time. As your practice progresses, you will frequently find yourself navigating several stages at the same time, moving back and forth between them over weeks, days, or even during a single session. This is perfectly normal. You can also expect to have times when you seem to have jumped to a more advanced stage, as well as days when you seem to have gone backward. In every case, the important thing is to practice according to whatever is happening in your meditation in the present. Don't get ahead of what is actually happening. On the other hand, once you have overcome the obstacles for a given stage, even temporarily, then you can work with the obstacles for the next stage. You will also notice that many of the techniques are similar in several different stages. A meditator at stage 3, for instance, uses similar techniques as a meditator at stage 4. The same is true for stages 5 and 6. However, the goals for each stage are always different. The secret to progress is working with the specific obstacles and goals appropriate to your current skill level. It's like learning to skate. You have to learn the basics before you can start doing triple axels. The earlier stages take longer to master. However, because the stages build on one another, the methods overlap, and the skills you develop in one stage are used in the next, you start making faster and faster progress. Advancing from stage 3 to stage 4 might take a long time, but progressing from 4 to 5 usually happens more quickly, and so on. It's common to have occasional or even frequent meditation experiences that correspond to more advanced stages. Even a beginning meditator at stage two may have experiences that resemble those of advanced stages. When this happens, you might overestimate your abilities and try to replicate the experience instead of working to master the skills for your current stage. Such experiences have no real significance in terms of your progress, although they do show you what is possible. Use them as inspiration, while continuing to work toward mastering your current stage. Isolated meditation experiences can happen at any time, but if they can't be repeated consistently and intentionally, they are of little value. Once your practice matures, you will have the knowledge and skills to consistently create these kinds of experiences. The rate of progress through the 10 stages. Some books give the impression that it takes many, many years or even decades to become an adept meditator. This simply isn't true. For householders who practice properly, it's possible to master the 10 stages within a few months or years. What you need is a regular daily sitting practice of 1 to 2 hours per day. Meditation retreats are quite helpful, but ones lasting months or years are certainly not necessary. Diligent daily meditation, combined with occasional longer periods of practice, will be enough for success. That said, there are several factors that determine how fast we make progress. Some of them we can influence, others we can't. To start with, different people have different natural abilities for working with attention and awareness. Some lifestyles and career paths are more conducive to developing these skills. Also, some people are better able to discipline themselves to practice regularly and diligently. Regardless of your natural abilities, you absolutely must master stage one, establishing a practice, to make progress. Life factors and stressful events can also affect the process. Losing your job, the death of a spouse, or a health problem can set even an advanced meditator back to the earliest stages. In fact, almost anything that happens outside of meditation can potentially have this effect. This just serves as another reminder that meditative accomplishments, like everything else, depend on certain conditions and can therefore be influenced by worldly events. Another factor that affects your progress is the problem of compartmentalization. We have a common tendency to separate meditation practice from the rest of our life. If the skills and insights we learn on the cushion don't infuse our daily life, progress will be quite slow. It's like filling a leaky bucket. This may be one reason why some people consider long retreats the only way to make real progress. Retreats are certainly wonderful and can help bring your practice to a whole new level. Yet we can only experience the full benefits if the wisdom we acquire permeates every facet of our life. And that takes work. Otherwise, long retreats are like filling an even bigger leaky bucket. The most important factor for improving quickly is a clear understanding of each stage. That means recognizing the mental faculties you need to cultivate, as well as the correct methods to overcome specific obstacles. It also means not getting ahead of yourself. Be systematic and practice at the appropriate level. Just as a scalpel is more effective for surgery than a large knife, skillful means and positive reinforcement are much better for pacifying the mind than blind, stubborn persistence. Finesse and patience pay off. The 10 stages of meditative training. Here, I briefly describe each stage's distinct characteristics, goals, challenges, and the techniques for achieving those goals and working through those challenges. Four particularly significant achievements divide the 10 stages into 4 distinct parts. 1 through 3 are the stages of a novice. 4 through 6 are the stages of a skilled meditator. 7 is a transition stage. And 8 through 10 are the stages of an adept. it is helpful to think of each stage in terms of the milestone that lies ahead. You will also notice a number of key terms. Don't worry if you don't know what the terms mean or can't remember everything being presented here. All of it is explained in greater detail in later chapters. The Novice, Stages 1 through 3. Stage 1, Establishing a Practice. This stage is about developing a consistent and diligent meditation practice. Being consistent means setting a clear daily schedule for when you're going to meditate, and sticking to it, except when there are circumstances beyond your control. Diligence means engaging wholeheartedly in the practice rather than spending your time on the cushion, planning, or daydreaming. Goals: develop a regular meditation practice. Obstacles: resistance, procrastination, fatigue, impatience, boredom, lack of motivation. Skills: creating practice routines, setting specific practice goals, generating strong motivation, cultivating discipline and diligence. Mastery: never missing a daily practice session. Stage 2, Interrupted Attention and Overcoming Mind Wandering. Stage 2 involves the simple practice of keeping your attention on the breath. This is easier said than done. You will discover that attention is easily captured by a distraction, making you forget that you're supposed to be paying attention to the breath. Forgetting quickly leads to mind wandering, which can last a few seconds, several minutes, or the entire meditation session. This sequence is so important it's worth committing to memory. The untrained mind produces distractions that lead to forgetting, which results in mind wandering. In Stage 2, you only work with the last event, mind wandering. Goals: shorten the periods of mind wandering and extend the periods of sustained attention to the meditation object. Obstacles: mind wandering, monkey mind, and impatience. Skills: reinforcing spontaneous, introspective awareness and learning to sustain attention on the meditation object. Spontaneous introspective awareness is the aha moment, when you suddenly realize there's a disconnect between what you wanted to do, watch the breath, and what you're actually doing, thinking about something else. Appreciating this moment causes it to happen faster and faster, so the periods of mind wandering get shorter and shorter. Mastery: you can sustain attention on the meditation object for minutes, while most periods of mind wandering last only a few seconds. Stage 3, Extended Attention and Overcoming Forgetting. Stages 2 and 3 are similar, but mind wandering gets shorter and shorter until it stops altogether. The biggest challenge during this stage is forgetting, but sleepiness often becomes a problem as well. Goals: overcome forgetting and falling asleep. Obstacles: distractions, forgetting, mind wandering, and sleepiness. Skills: use the techniques of following the breath and connecting to extend the periods of uninterrupted attention and become familiar with how forgetting happens. Cultivate introspective awareness through the practices of labeling and checking in. These techniques allow you to catch distractions before they lead to forgetting. Mastery: rarely forgetting the breath or falling asleep. Milestone 1, Continuous Attention to the Meditation Object. The first milestone is continuous attention to the meditation object, which you achieve at the end of Stage 3. Before this, you're a beginner, a person who meditates rather than a skilled meditator. When you reach this milestone, you're no longer a novice, prone to forgetting, mind wandering, or dozing off. By mastering stages 1 through 3, you have acquired the basic first-level skills on the way to stable attention. You can now do something that no ordinary, untrained person can. You will build on this initial skill set over the course of the next 3 stages to become a truly skilled meditator. The Skilled Meditator, stages 4 through 6. Stage 4. Continuous attention and overcoming gross distraction and strong dullness. You can stay focused on the breath more or less continuously, but attention still shifts rapidly back and forth between the breath and various distractions. Whenever a distraction becomes the primary focus of your attention, it pushes the meditation object into the background. This is called gross distraction. But when the mind grows calm, there tends to be another problem, strong dullness. To deal with both of these challenges, you develop continuous introspective awareness to alert you to their presence. Goal: overcome gross distraction and strong dullness. Obstacles, distractions, pain and discomfort, intellectual insights, emotionally charged visions and memories. Skills: developing continuous introspective awareness allows you to make corrections before subtle distractions become gross distractions, and before subtle dullness becomes strong dullness. Learning to work with pain, purifying the mind of past trauma and unwholesome conditioning. Mastery: gross distractions no longer push the breath into the background, and breath sensations don't fade or become distorted due to strong dullness. Stage 5. Overcoming subtle dullness and increasing mindfulness. You have overcome gross distractions and strong dullness, but there is a tendency to slip into stable, subtle dullness. This makes the breath sensations less vivid and causes peripheral awareness to fade. Unrecognized subtle dullness can lead you to overestimate your abilities and move on to the next stage prematurely, which leads to concentration with dullness. You will experience only a shallow facsimile of the later stages, and your practice will come to a dead end. To overcome subtle dullness, you must sharpen your faculties of attention and awareness. Goal: to overcome subtle dullness and increase the power of mindfulness. Obstacles: subtle dullness is difficult to recognize, creates an illusion of stable attention, and is seductively pleasant. Skills: cultivating even stronger and more continuous introspective awareness to detect and correct for subtle dullness. Learning a new body scanning technique to help you increase the power of your mindfulness. Mastery: you can sustain or even increase the power of your mindfulness during each meditation session. Stage 6. Subduing subtle distraction. Attention is fairly stable, but still alternates between the meditation object and subtle distractions in the background. You're now ready to bring your faculty of attention to a whole new level where subtle distractions fall away completely. You will achieve exclusive attention to the meditation object, also called single-pointed attention. Goal: to subdue subtle distractions and develop metacognitive introspective awareness. Obstacles: the tendency for attention to alternate to the continuous stream of distracting thoughts and other mental objects in peripheral awareness. Skills: defining your scope of attention more precisely than before, and ignoring everything outside that scope until subtle distractions fade away. Developing a much more refined and selective awareness of the mind itself, called metacognitive introspective awareness. You will also use a method called experiencing the whole body with the breath to further subdue potential distractions. Mastery: subtle distractions have almost entirely disappeared, and you have unwavering exclusive attention together with vivid mindfulness. Milestone 2. Sustained exclusive focus of attention. With mastery of stages 4 through 6, your attention no longer alternates back and forth from the breath to distractions in the background. You can focus on the meditation object to the exclusion of everything else, and your scope of attention is also stable. Dullness has completely disappeared, and mindfulness takes the form of a powerful metacognitive introspective awareness. That is, You are now aware of your state of mind in every moment, even as you focus on the breath. You have accomplished the two major objectives of meditative training: stable attention and powerful mindfulness. With these abilities, you are now a skilled meditator and have achieved the second milestone. The transition. Stage 7. Stage 7. Exclusive attention and unifying the mind. You can now investigate any object with however broad or narrow a focus you choose, but you have to stay vigilant and make a continuous effort to keep subtle distractions and subtle dullness at bay. Goal: effortlessly sustained exclusive attention and powerful mindfulness. Obstacles: distractions and dullness will return if you stop exerting effort. You must keep sustaining effort until exclusive attention and mindfulness become automatic. Then effort will no longer be necessary. Boredom, restlessness, and doubt tend to arise during this time. Also, bizarre sensations and involuntary body movements can distract you from your practice. Knowing when to drop all effort is the next obstacle. But making effort has become a habit, so it's hard to stop. Methods. Practicing patiently and diligently will bring you to the threshold of effortlessness. It will get you past all the boredom and doubt, as well as the bizarre sensations and movements. Purposely relaxing your effort from time to time will let you know when effort and vigilance are no longer necessary. Then you can work on letting go of the need to be in control. Various insight and jhana practices add variety at this stage. Mastery. You can drop all effort, and the mind still maintains an unprecedented degree of stability and clarity. Milestone 3. Effortless stability of attention. The third milestone is marked by effortlessly sustained exclusive attention, together with powerful mindfulness. This state is called mental pliancy, and occurs because of the complete pacification of the discriminating mind, meaning mental chatter and discursive analysis have stopped. Different parts of the mind are no longer so resistant or preoccupied with other things, and diverse mental processes begin to coalesce around a single purpose. This unification of mind means that, rather than struggling against itself, the mind functions more as a coherent, harmonious whole. You have completed the transition from being a skilled meditator to an adept meditator. The Adept Meditator. Stages 8 through 10. Stage 8. Mental pliancy and pacifying the senses. With mental pliancy, you can effortlessly sustain exclusive attention and mindfulness, but physical pain and discomfort still limit how long you can sit. The bizarre sensations and involuntary movements that began in Stage 7 not only continue, but may intensify. With continuing unification of mind and complete pacification of the senses, physical pliancy arises, and these problems disappear. Pacifying the senses doesn't imply going into some trance. It just means that the 5 physical senses, as well as the mind sense, temporarily grow quiet while you meditate. Goal: complete pacification of the senses and the full arising of meditative joy. Obstacles: the primary challenge is not to be distracted or distressed by the variety of extraordinary experiences during this stage: unusual and often unpleasant sensations, involuntary movements, feelings of strong energy currents in the body, and intense joy. Simply let them be. Method: practicing effortless attention and introspective awareness will naturally lead to continued unification, pacification of the senses, and the arising of meditative joy. Jhana and other insight practices are very productive as part of this process. Mastery. When the eyes perceive only an inner light, the ears perceive only an inner sound, the body is suffused with a sense of pleasure and comfort, and your mental state is one of intense joy. With this mental and physical pliancy, you can sit for hours without dullness, distraction, or physical discomfort. Stage 9. Mental and physical pliancy and calming the intensity of meditative joy. With mental and physical pliancy comes meditative joy, a unique state of mind that brings great happiness and physical pleasure. Goal: the maturation of meditative joy, producing tranquility and equanimity. Obstacles: the intensity of meditative joy can perturb the mind, becoming a distraction and disrupting your practice. Method: becoming familiar with meditative joy through continued practice until the excitement fades, replaced by tranquility and equanimity. Mastery: consistently evoking mental and physical pliancy, accompanied by profound tranquility and equanimity. Stage 10. Tranquility and equanimity. You enter stage 10 with all the qualities of shamatha: effortlessly stable attention, mindfulness, joy, tranquility, and equanimity. At first, these qualities immediately fade after the meditation has ended. But as you continue to practice, they persist longer and longer between meditation sessions. Eventually, they become the normal condition of the mind. Because the characteristics of shamatha never disappear entirely, whenever you sit on the cushion, you quickly regain a fully developed meditative state. You have mastered stage 10 when the qualities of shamatha persist for many hours after you rise from the cushion. Once stage 10 is mastered, the mind is described as unsurpassable. Milestone 4. Persistence of the mental qualities of an adept. When you have mastered stage 10, the many positive mental qualities you experience during meditation are strongly present even between meditation sessions, so your daily life is imbued with effortlessly stable attention, mindfulness, joy, tranquility, and equanimity. This is the fourth and final milestone, and marks the culmination of an adept meditator's training. Cultivating the right attitude and setting clear intentions. We naturally tend to think of ourselves as the agent responsible for producing results through will and effort. Certain words we can't avoid using when we talk about meditation, such as achieve and master, only reinforce this idea. We often believe we should be in control, the masters of our own minds. But that belief only creates problems for your practice. It will lead you to try to willfully force the mind into submission. When that inevitably fails, you will tend to get discouraged and blame yourself. This can turn into a habit, unless you realize there is no self in charge of the mind, and therefore nobody to blame. As you continue to meditate, this fact of no self becomes increasingly clear, but you can't afford to wait for that insight. For the sake of making progress, it's best to drop this notion, at least at an intellectual level, as soon as possible. In reality, all we're doing in meditation is forming and holding specific conscious intention, nothing more. In fact, while it may not be obvious, all our achievements originate from intentions. Consider learning to play catch. As a child, you may have wanted to play catch, but at first your arm and hand just didn't move in quite the right way. However, by sustaining the intention to catch the ball after much practice, your arm and hand eventually performed the task whenever you wanted. You don't play catch. Instead, you just intend to catch the ball, and the rest follows. You intend, and the body acts. In exactly the same way, we can use intention to profoundly transform how the mind behaves. Intention, provided it is correctly formulated and sustained, is what creates the causes and conditions for stable attention and mindfulness. Intentions repeatedly sustained over the course of many meditation sessions give rise to frequently repeated mental acts, which eventually become habits of the mind. At every stage, all you really do is patiently and persistently hold your intentions to respond in specific ways to whatever happens during your meditation. Setting and holding the right intentions is what's essential. If your intention is strong, the appropriate responses will occur, and the practice will unfold in a very natural and predictable way. Once again, repeatedly sustained intentions lead to repeated mental actions, which become mental habits, the habits of mind that lead to joy, equanimity, and insight. The exquisite simplicity of this process isn't so obvious in the early stages. However, by the time you reach stage 8 and your meditations become completely effortless, it will be clear. While useful, the lists of goals, obstacles, skills, and mastery provided in this discussion so far can obscure just how simple the underlying process really is. Intentions lead to mental actions, and repeated mental actions become mental habits. This simple formula is at the heart of every stage. Therefore, here's a brief recap of the 10 stages, presented in a completely different way that puts the emphasis entirely on how intention works in each stage. Refer to the earlier outline when you need to orient yourself within the context of the stages as a whole, but look at the outline that follows whenever working through the individual stages begins to feel like a struggle. Stage 1. Put all your effort into forming and holding a conscious intention to sit down and meditate for a set period every day, and to practice diligently for the duration of the sit. When your intentions are clear and strong, the appropriate actions naturally follow, and you'll find yourself regularly sitting down to meditate. If this doesn't happen, instead of chastising yourself and trying to force yourself to practice, work on strengthening your motivation and intentions. Stage 2. Willpower can't prevent the mind from forgetting the breath, nor can you force yourself to become aware that the mind is wandering. Instead, just hold the intention to appreciate the aha moment that recognizes mind wandering, while gently but firmly redirecting attention back to the breath. Then, intend to engage with the breath as fully as possible without losing peripheral awareness. In time, the simple actions flowing from these three intentions will become mental habits. Periods of mind wandering will become shorter. Periods of attention to the breath will grow longer, and you'll have achieved your goal. Stage 3. Set your intention to invoke introspective attention frequently, before you've forgotten the breath or fallen asleep, and make corrections as soon as you notice distractions or dullness. Also, intend to sustain peripheral awareness while engaging with the breath as fully as possible. These three intentions and the actions they produce are simply elaborations of those from stage 2. Once they become habits, you'll rarely forget the breath. Stages 4 through 6. Set and hold the intention to be vigilant so that introspective awareness becomes continuous, and notice and immediately correct for dullness and distraction. These intentions will mature into the highly developed skills of stable attention and mindfulness. You overcome every type of dullness and distraction, achieving both exclusive, single-pointed attention and metacognitive introspective awareness. Stage 7. Everything becomes even simpler. With the conscious intention to continuously guard against dullness and distraction, the mind becomes completely accustomed to effortlessly sustaining attention and mindfulness. Stages 8 through 10. Your intention is simply to keep practicing, using skills that are now completely effortless. In stage 8, effortlessly sustained exclusive attention produces mental and physical pliancy, pleasure, and joy. In stage 9, simply abiding in the state of meditative joy causes profound tranquility and equanimity to arise. In stage 10, just by continuing to practice regularly, the profound joy and happiness, tranquility, and equanimity you experience in meditation persists between meditation sessions, infusing your daily life as well. As with planting seeds, at each stage you sow the appropriate intentions in the soil of the mind. Water these intentions with the diligence of regular practice and protect them from the destructive pests of procrastination, doubt, desire, aversion, and agitation. These intentions will naturally flower into a specific series of mental events that mature to produce the fruits of your practice. Will a seed sprout more quickly if you keep digging it up and replanting it? No. Therefore, don't let impatience or frustration stop you from practicing, or convince you that you need to seek out a better or easier practice. Getting annoyed with every instance of mind wandering or sleepiness is like tearing up the garden to get rid of the weeds. Attempting to force attention to remain stable is like trying to make a sapling grow taller by stretching it. Chasing after physical pliancy and meditative joy is like prying open a bud so it will blossom more quickly. Impatience and striving won't make anything grow faster. Be patient and trust in the process. Care for the mind like a skilled gardener, and everything will flower and fruit in due time.